Praise the Lord. I'm going to read in 2 Kings chapter 2 this morning. 2 Kings chapter 2. This text gives us the story of two prophets, Elijah and Elisha. If you ever had trouble keeping them straight, well, just remember that both of them start with an E-L-I. And then just look at the one, just look at them in alphabetical order. The J always comes before the S-H. And that'll help you to keep Elijah and Elisha straight. Elijah was the older prophet, teacher, mentor to Elisha. And so we're going to read about them in this chapter, 2 Kings chapter 2. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yes, I know it. Hold your peace. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that the two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass that when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Wow, that's quite a story. That's quite a story. And So let's talk about this for a few minutes. And just want to ask you, have you ever asked God for a double portion? Have you ever asked the Lord, Lord, give me a double portion? And should we ask God for a double portion? Well, let's just look and see what the Word of God says about this. You remember that Elisha was chosen by Elijah. Elijah was running for his life because Jezebel had threatened him. And he ended up getting recommissioned or recalled to ministry, being sent forth even in the midst of all of this threatening that he was going through. And the Lord said, go and find this man named Elisha and anoint him to be prophet in your place, or he's going to be your successor. And so you go find him and you anoint him to be the prophet that's to follow you. And so he found him, and he's taking care of the farm. He's actually leading about 12 oxen and plowing with 12 oxen. So it's a pretty amazing scene when the prophet Elijah comes and just walks beside him and puts his mantle over him as he's working there in the field. And immediately Elisha recognizes what has happened, that he has been set apart and called for a great task and a great ministry. And so he literally burns the oxen and builds an altar and sacrifices the oxen. And it's really symbolic of a man who is saying, I'm never going back to this old life. I'm always moving forward from this day forward. And he sacrificed his yoke and his oxen and everything that was all a part of his former life. He said, I'm not going back to that. I am going to follow this man of God. That's exactly what he does. He follows him. And you notice as we read through the text that even when the different ones, like the sons of the prophets, said to him more than once, don't follow after him. And even the prophet Elijah said, don't follow me any further. He could not be persuaded to stop. He was staying with the prophet because he wanted to learn every possible lesson and glean everything that he could through that experience of following this man of God. Amen. So for 7 years, Elisha is mentored by Elijah. And now he comes down to this particular day in chapter 2 when it becomes obvious that something's getting ready to happen, that this prophet Elijah is getting ready to be taken up, translated. He's getting ready. I don't know if he actually knew how it was going to happen. He just knew that the day had arrived, that he was going to be taken out of this world, and he was determined to see him. Actually, Elijah is only one of two men who did not go by way of the grave. Remember, Enoch, the Bible says, walked with God and was not, for God took him. And so Enoch walked with God and he just took one more step. And that last step, he stepped out of this world and into the world of the heavenlies. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Enoch walked with God, and he's a wonderful type of the church. And what's going to happen when the church takes another step and we are gone from this world and we're in the presence of the Lord. Praise God. And so here's this prophet Elisha who is following him. And finally the prophet Elijah says, okay, if you stay with me, if you see what happens to me, then I'm going to make sure you get what you really long for, what you really desire. And his desire was this, whatever you want. There's been a few occasions in the scripture where God said, I'll give you what you want.
Remember Solomon? Whatever you want, Solomon. Well, that's what Elijah says to Elisha. He says, I'll give you your desire. I'll give you what you want if you see me taken up, if you stay close by me all the way to the end. And so he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. I want a double portion of your spirit. Now that was quite an ask. As a matter of fact, Elijah says just that. You have asked a hard thing. This is going to be tough for you to receive such an amazing gift because, I mean, Elijah's life and ministry was filled with the miraculous. And for Elisha to say, I want a double portion of what you have had. That means he was looking to the future. He wasn't losing heart or giving up. But he believed that there were greater things ahead that God wanted to do. And he wanted to be the instrument that God used to see that accomplished. So from that perspective here this morning, I think it would be worthwhile for every Christian, every spirit-filled Christian especially, to begin to pray that kind of a prayer. Lord, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what next month holds. We don't know what next year holds. But we know, Lord, that you are a God who can do wonderful and great things in spite of the negativity of the world that we live in right now. God is still up to doing great and mighty things. So why not ask God, Lord, give to us a double portion for these last days, an outpouring of your spirit, Lord, more than even previous generations. Give to us, Lord, what we need for these last days. Give to us a double portion of your spirit and your power. There's a few times in the scripture when this double portion of God's blessing is mentioned. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, you remember Jabez's prayer. It says that Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. And you can read the rest of that section there. Just a couple of verses there that gives the description of the life and the prayer of Jabez. Interesting that in the Hebrew, the word, when he says, Oh, that thou would bless me. In the Hebrew, the word there, bless me, really is a double. It is a, Lord, bless me. It's a double. It's really a reference to this double blessing. Give me more. Double bless me. Give me. Bless me indeed. And enlarge my coast, that your hand might be upon me, that thou wouldest keep me from the evil one. Yeah, you have to go back even to Deuteronomy in 21, in verse 17. There it says, But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. It had already been established even before Moses. Moses is just here reaffirming that there was to be this double blessing given to the firstborn son. Remember Esau and Jacob and the birthright that Jacob desired so much that he was willing to even be a liar and a cheat and a deceiver to get that blessing. That birthright was the double blessing that went to the firstborn son, which meant he was to receive it because he would have to become the family member that took care of the rest of the family. And he would be the responsible one in the family. He would be the one that the rest of the family would look to them. And so there was to be this double blessing that was to be given to the firstborn son. I don't know. I was never able to convince my mom and dad that that was really the way it was supposed to be. But it certainly is biblical from Genesis and from Deuteronomy. Giving them a double portion of all that he hath, for he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. So now Elisha is saying, I want this double blessing. I want this privilege and this blessing. I want your power to rest upon me double as much as was upon you. This was a very bold and a very courageous request. This was asking for something really, really great. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's a wonderful thing. When you have enough faith to ask God to do greater and greater and greater and more amazing things than he's ever done before, that is a prayer of faith. That's looking to the future with confidence and just trusting that God is going to work. And do you remember that you and I, whenever we are born again, that we are children of God? And in Romans chapter 8, it talks about the fact that we come into this family by way of adoption. Amen. We are adopted in the family. We made heirs, it says in Romans 8 and 16. We have been heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. Jesus being the firstborn, so the blessing of the firstborn, we are joint heirs with him. And so that belongs to you and me as well. Praise God. Glory to God. I don't know if you know this or not, but I learned this years ago when we were in the adoptive process. But you know, you can disinherit your natural born son or daughter. Legally, I'm talking about legally. You can disinherit them if you choose. So you better be on your best behavior. Your parents can legally disinherit you. But if you are adopted, they cannot. Isn't that amazing? If you're adopted, you can't be disinherited. And so you and I have been adopted into the family of God. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so we have a position and a right to ask the Lord, Lord, grant unto me a double portion of your blessing upon my life. You know, we just have not because we ask not. We don't even ask the Lord. Lord, pour your spirit out upon me. Lord, anoint me for these last days. We can look at the challenges around us in our world and recognize, man, I've never seen things as bad as they are. Do you understand that God's power is sufficient for this day? That God has enough for this day, for you and for me. He can empower us. He can fill us. He can equip us for these last days that we're living in. No matter how dark and difficult they may become, there is power and grace that is sufficient. And we can ask the Lord, give me a double portion, Lord, so that I am able, Lord, to carry out your will and your purpose in these last days. I want you to notice, I already made mention of the fact that Elisha, I mean, he was right on the heels of Elijah. He would not let him out of his sight. He was following him because he knew that every step he took, he could learn. Every step that he took, he wanted the same experience. He wanted to learn the same lesson. He wanted to see the power of God at work in his life, and he didn't want to miss anything. As a matter of fact, it says that there were 50 other of the sons of the prophets that were watching from a distance. And apparently they were so far off, they didn't see what had happened as far as his translation being taken up in a chariot of fire and horses of fire. Apparently, they didn't really see clearly what had happened because they wanted to send out a search party later. When you read the chapter, they wanted to say, well, what really happened to him? Where is he? Where did he go? And so they must have got distracted, or they must have been so far away that they couldn't see exactly what was happening. But that wasn't going to happen to Elisha. He was going to stay close. And it's the one who determines to be close to the Lord and to follow closely after God, to follow hard after the Lord, to be right there in pursuit of the things of the Lord. That's the person that's going to see the wonderful things. They're going to see the hand of the Lord. They're going to see the wonderful miracles. They're going to see God work mightily. That person who stays close to the Lord is the person that's going to witness these wonderful things. And so Elisha stayed close to Elijah, so close that he passed through. Notice in the chapter, in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says that he was going to be taken up into heaven by a whirlwind, and that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. So they went through Gilgal. And then in verse 2, as they went on, they went through Bethel. And then down in verse 4, as they continued to travel, they go through Jericho. Three different cities there. Each one of them are significant. Each one of them are important. And I believe have a spiritual lesson. In each one of them, Gilgal was the place where the children of Israel, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, they cross over the Jordan. But before they can go on in to possess the land and to defeat all the inhabitants of the promised land, that God commanded that they, all the men, be circumcised. And so as they crossed into the land, there was to be this rite of circumcision that was symbolic of their identity and their separation from all the other nations. Gilgal stands for separation. It stands for separation. And so he knew that if he was going to see the hand of God, he was going to have to be willing to walk through this pathway of separation from everything else that was in the world. You see, there is a lesson to be learned here. If you want to really follow after God, you're going to have to pass through Gilgal. You're going to have to be willing to separate yourself from the world and from the things of this world, the things of this life. You can't follow after God and hold on to all the things that this world has to offer at the same time. You're going to have to make a break with the world. You're going to have to turn away from the attractions and the love and the pursuit of the things of this world. Anything in your life, really, that holds you back from really committing yourself and dedicating yourself to the Lord, you need to cut ties with that. You need to break away from that. Anything that's hindering you from moving into that close fellowship with the Lord. It may be just a besetting sin. It may be things that you have put that may not even be sinful, but just things that you've put before the Lord. They're more important to you than your walk with the Lord and you're getting closer to the Lord. Whatever it might be, then this necessary step of separation from the world. And, you know, you can't really draw close and intimate with the Lord if you are in love with the world. You can't love the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. That's what the scripture says. And so you have to make a break. You may have wrong priorities. You may be involved in things you shouldn't be. There may be habits that need to be broken in your life, hindrances that are in your life. Gilgal stands for separation. And if you want to see the mighty hand of God at work in your life, you're going to have to be willing to let God take you to Gilgal and separate you from the things of this world and this life. Amen. And then they go to Bethel. That's there mentioned in verse 2. They go through Bethel. Bethel just means house of God. This is the place where Jacob had his encounter. Remember, he had the dream of heaven opening and a ladder there and angels ascending and descending. And it was symbolic of the presence of God. Remember, Jacob said, surely the presence of the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. He was here with me, and I didn't even realize. And so that place became a place, an encounter with God. it became a place that symbolized worship and the presence of God in his life. And so they also passed through Bethel. They passed through Bethel, this place of God's presence, an encounter with the Lord and a closeness to the Lord. If you want to see the mighty hand of God at work in your life, then you're going to have to be willing to allow the Lord to lead you into real fellowship with him and face-to-face encounter with the Lord and to walk with him and walk in his presence. And so you learn what it really means to worship the Lord. It's not just a song. It's not just a hand clap. It's the fact that your heart and your mind has been turned toward God, and you are worshiping and glorifying the Lord himself, and you have entered into the presence of the Lord. Bethel symbolizes the house of God, and the house of God symbolizes a place where you can meet with God. Amen. And so to go this pathway of real commitment, you have to be willing to have an encounter with God and to have fellowship with God in a close face-to-face relationship. And then the third place that's listed there in verse 4 is they went through Jericho. Jericho was the first city before they went in and possessed all of the land that was promised to them. The promised land really symbolizes the victorious life that you can enter into, but it starts with Jericho. In Jericho, they had to do it God's way. That victory was won by the power of God. They could not come up against the walled cities of Jericho. They simply obeyed the voice of the Lord, and they walked around that city until finally on the seventh day, then there was the shout and the blowing of the trumpets and the supernatural hand of God that brought the walled cities down. That was the beginning of their victorious entrance into the promised land. Do you understand that you have no victory if you are not willing to fight? You have to be willing. If you're going to possess all that God has for you, you're going to have to be able to put up a fight. Now, I understand our fight is not flesh and blood, and it's a spiritual struggle that we are in, but you're going to have to be willing to press into it. You're going to have to be willing to really fight, to make progress in the things of the Lord. That's really what Jericho symbolizes, is that God has a blessing for you and a provision for you, but you're going to have to be willing to obey the voice of God and fight to see this possession become yours. Praise God. So he goes through Gilgal, separation. He goes through Bethel, symbolizing the presence of God and a personal encounter with God. Then he goes through Jericho, also symbolizing a victorious life over sin and the world and entering into all that God has for the people of God. And then he refuses to turn back. He refuses to allow anyone to persuade him to turn back. Everyone's saying, don't you know that Elijah's getting ready to be taken up? Don't you know this? I know that. I am not stopping. There was this persistence and determination in his heart that would not give up, that would not let anyone discourage him. He just stayed there in his pursuit of the things of God. And he became a man who witnessed the supernatural miracle of this man, Elijah, being taken up. Suddenly appeared horses of fire, a chariot of fire that came and swooped him up and took him to heaven. In a matter of seconds, he is gone, and no one else apparently saw it. But Elisha saw it. Elisha saw it because of his determination to seek the Lord and to stay close to the Lord. I just want to encourage you. I know we're in some times right now that have been challenging, but don't let it discourage you. Keep on praying. Keep on seeking after God. Stay in the Word. Get to church as much as you can. Be in the presence of God. Pursue after the things of God. And God will reveal Himself to you. God will show Himself strong to you. And Elisha had said, I want a double portion. He knew that Elijah was getting ready to be gone. And then he was going to be responsible. He was going to be the spiritual leader. He was going to be the prophet in his stead, who was going to carry on a big spiritual responsibility in the nation. He understood that. That's why he said, oh, give me a double portion. I've got a big challenge ahead of me. I just need something greater than even the prophet Elijah had. And the Lord granted to him, listen, if you see me go up, you stay close. You see me go up, and I will grant this desire to you. That's why he was right on his heels. That's why he was staying close. And he saw him ascend in that chariot of fire, and the mantle of Elijah fell upon Elisha. Praise God. The same power and even greater. As a matter of fact, there are 16 recorded miracles in the ministry of Elijah and 32 miracles recorded in Scripture in the ministry, in the life of Elisha. The very thing that he prayed and asked for, he received because he desired the miracle. It took courage. It took faith to look to the future and to believe that God could do some wonderful and great things. You know what? I think that what we've been in for the last 6 or 7 months, we've all shifted into neutral. And our attitude has been, me too, we're all guilty of this. Well, we're just going to ride the storm out. We're going to do the best we can. We'll just survive and do the best we can. Instead of saying, Lord, these are great times. What about the scripture that talks about that when sin abounds, grace much more abounds? That God sends power sufficient for the day. Yeah, we're in dark days. We're facing some challenging times. But there is power enough and sufficient for the times that we're living in right now. Why not ask God for a double portion? Why not ask God, empower us for these days. Empower us for the challenges that we're going to face until He comes. I believe that Jesus is coming really, really soon and very well could come before this year is over. And I know that that's all the hope that we have. We look to the reality of Jesus' coming. But He may not come in 2020. It may be next year or another year. We don't know. There may be a few years yet. We don't really know for sure. We just know it's soon. We know it's soon. So until He comes... Until He comes, we must be occupying. We must be busy. We must be doing what He's asked us to do. And I believe we need more power. We need more power. We need an outpouring of the Spirit greater than we've seen, greater than we've experienced, greater than we've even heard of in the past, that we could see the mighty hand of God. He passed through Gilgal, separation. He passed through Bethel, the house of God. And He passed through Jericho, the victorious life that God was leading him into, staying right on the heels of the prophet, and saw the miraculous ascension of Elijah. And then the power of God rested upon him. And he performed great miracles all throughout his ministry. So what's ahead? I don't think any of us know. We don't know what we're going to face in the coming weeks, months, years. We do not know. But until Jesus comes, He wants us all as the church to be busy doing great things. The Old Testament talks about exploits, doing great things, mighty things, supernatural things. That's what God wants to do in your life, in my life, if we're willing to ask God for a double portion. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Many of you are like me, that you've had an encounter with the Lord. You've been filled with the Spirit at some time in your life. But you need something for this day. You need something for these challenges. And God has what we need if we'll just ask and if we'll pursue it with our whole heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that all across this sanctuary, you would stir up in the hearts of young people, men and women, everyone in this place, a hunger and a desire, Lord, for more. A grace that is sufficient for this hour. Lord, and we're asking God that you would pour out your Spirit in greater measure. Lord, we need that. We need the blessing, Lord, of the firstborn. We need the blessing, Lord, that you promised to us, Lord, as saints of God for these last days. Your grace is sufficient no matter what we experience. And we're believing you to do it. We're believing you, Lord, to stir your church, your people, with a hunger and a desire. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, would you pour out your Spirit, Lord, in this sanctuary today and stir the hearts of people, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I think it's okay for us to ask God for greater things. Ask God for greater things. We may be facing greater challenges, and God knows what we're in need of in these next coming weeks and months. We need the Lord's power in our life. Would you ask the Lord? Would you ask Him? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your touch. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and your power. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I've really sensed in recent weeks a spirit of, I don't know, depression, discouragement, settling in on the hearts of folks. Let me tell you, you have to fight back. You have to resist that spirit. You have to determine God has a purpose and a plan in these times. We are not just vulnerable to these times. We're not going to cave in to these times, but we're going to trust God to help us and to bless and to work in our lives and just see what God has in store. Somehow, Elisha got a hold of the vision. Elijah's leaving. That doesn't mean it's over with. It means that there's something more he's going to have to do through me. I think that's what we need to do, is we need to face these times with that kind of an attitude. Lord, we know we can't depend on our brothers and sisters of the past. They're already with you, Lord. But we can trust that you have what we need in these days. Praise God. So if you've been going through a little time of worry and, you know, heaviness in your spirit, and understand that's the enemy of your soul. He wants to destroy your faith and your confidence in God. But let's get a hold of God and let's begin to ask the Lord. Lord, I need more. I need more. I need more for this time that we're in right now. I need a double portion of your blessing and your power in my life. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Before we dismiss this service, if there's anyone here today that you want prayer, you need prayer, and you're just going through some difficult times right now, you need help from the Lord, I want to encourage you to step out here. Come and let us pray with you. Whatever your burden is, whatever your need is, would you bring it to the Lord? Amen. We don't have to be in fear. I understand that we're trying to, you know, distance as much as possible. But when it comes to praying about needs that people have, spiritual needs of great consequence, these altars are a place where we can safely meet and call upon the Lord. And I encourage you to reach out to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.